Good evening, brothers and sisters of CCC. And I want to thank Alistair, who has been a very good brother to me, and David. Thank you very much for the opportunity to come and share with the family here. We are one family. Praise God for that. I've titled the talk today, The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. I just pray that this hidden power be made manifest, that it becomes so clear that that power is present, ever present, and that that power can do everything. And I pray that God makes it so clear to everyone in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, please have your way. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that everyone lives here with a word from you. That you turn our lives around and that you do what your little one does best all the time. Have your way, O Lord. Reign, God. Reign, Jesus. Reign. Reign. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I know that you've had quite some teaching on prayers. I know they've done quite some good job of that. I know Alistair... I know we share a praying platform together. I know that you have done quite some work of that. I've actually gained so much from knowing Alistair in my ministerial life. And I just thank God for that. There are certain things that we say just commonly in terms of definitions and what comes to mind when we talk about prayer. We do know that. Roughly speaking, is something to do with conversation or communication with God, which means a two-way thing. And it involves thanksgiving, praise, worship, supplication or pleading for help of God. Prayer involves asking, seeking, and knocking. But there are two other aspects of prayers that in most cases we don't tend to add to definitions, and which are very important, and I just want to touch on them briefly and then go to fasting. And these are reading of the Word of God and meditation, or meditating on the Word of God. God himself makes this very clear, because he's very well pleased if you do this. It is his will, and he has promised success and prosperity for individuals that do these things, as shown in Joshua 1:8, which says that if the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. This actually is reiterated as it shows in Psalm 1:1-3. You know, David is a man after God's heart. God himself has said that. And he's written quite a lot of the Psalms. And it's amazing that the very first Psalm sort of concentrates on this particular aspect of prayer. He said, blessed is the man... blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. There was a particular time I made some preparation for teaching on prayer. And before then, one of the things the Lord put on my heart, he says, I want you to look at the concordance. Check every passage, every place where you find the word heart. And by the time I went through that, there were about 300 and something now, and I was taken aback. So many. Soft heart, kind heart, wonderful heart, and what have you. And of course, you have strong heart, wicked heart, and all that. So the bottom line in terms of our prayer and fasting is what happens at the level of our heart. If our heart is in it, and if our heart is clean and clear, then that prayer goes through in most cases. But if our heart is not in it, if our heart is not clear, and we don't have the belief even in the prayer that we have prayed, then it doesn't stand. Same goes for fasting. So fasting is defined as the willful abstinence from food or from food and water and pleasures for spiritual purposes. Almost all religions have their period of fasting. But for this, I'm just going to confine myself to the Christian fast. This is always for a specific purpose and for a specific time. And it could be either by the individual himself, it's been laid in his heart to do that, or it's going through any particular reason he wants to do that, or he has a belief in having to do that weekly, as the case may be for some cases, or corporate, in which a church, for example, says, all our members, please, let's fast. So maybe word has been laid in the heart of the pastor or some other elder in the church. Say, let's fast for some specific reason. Maybe there's a crisis or maybe there's a problem, either for individuals in the church or anywhere in the world. It could be in form of intercession or something. The Bible passage that's just been read sort of goes in and talks about this just at the very last line, the very last verse. But we know that fasting has been on in Bible, if you look at Bible, right from the time of Moses. And it's been as a means of seeking God, of focusing on him, wanting a closer relationship, wanting a sort of situation where you don't want to be ordinary anymore, wanting his glory to shine all over the world. It's amazing that Jesus, just after the transfiguration, was coming back with John, Peter, James, and John, you know, from the mountain top. And by the time he got down, after that glorious scene of Moses and Elijah appearing in the place, and Peter saying, oh, let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, let's just stay here. He got down, found that there was quite some crowd, and it was something to do with his disciples. They have been trying to cast out, they're trying to heal somebody that had some problem, a child, a son of a man that had problem, possibly something to do with epilepsy. So. But then the man came and he knelt down before Jesus when he saw Jesus and said that he should please help. And Jesus tried to find out what's happened. He said they have been trying to cast out this demon. They have been trying to heal. They have been trying to heal the child, but they couldn't. So Jesus did heal the child. But there's something specific that I just want to touch on. Verse 20 and 21, before I move on. He says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, because they asked him, why couldn't we do it? He said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. He said, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, it will interest you to know that Jesus has told the disciples, he has sent them out. If you look at Matthew 9, from 37 to Matthew 10, verse 1, where he actually has sent them out, that's the 12 disciples, to go out and heal the sick, cast out demons. And when you get to verse 8 chapter 10, and even raise the dead. But it's amazing that they couldn't do this, so they were surprised. And they had done all those before, haven't done that before, but they couldn't do this. So by the time Jesus told them, it was as if, why? But if we look at the Sermon on the Mount, that is from Matthew chapter 6. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, you see quite a lot of what Jesus said at the beginning in terms of what prayer, does, and what fasting does. Because there are some Christian denomination that do say even that, okay, maybe you shouldn't fast, that maybe the days of fasting is gone. But if you look at the Bible, that is not what it says. So I'll take us just briefly to chapter 6 of Matthew, which we refer to as the when chapter. And starting from verse 1 of that, it does say, when you do charitable deeds, which means it's not if you do it, but when you do it, that you should make sure you do this in secret. You should make sure that you don't do it before men. That if you do so, then of course you've had your reward. That you have no reward from Father in heaven if you've had your reward down here for that. But when you do it, then your right hand should not know what your left hand has done. That charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. He said the same thing about prayer. That when you pray, you don't pray like the hypocrites. That they love to stand by at the synagogues and the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Conversely, as you found for the first one, say, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door and pray, and the Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. Then lastly, he did the same thing for fasting. That's Matthew 6, 16 to 18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place, who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So those three things. So that makes it very clear that it's not a question of fasting, it's when, not if. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 to 15, when Jesus was questioned about fasting, he said, "Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast.'" And then they would fast. Brethren, the very first time I did a fast would have been many, many years ago as a growing child in a Muslim family. I happened to have, in my home then, my grandma definitely would fast all of those 30 days, but the children were allowed not to do that. And then I know we have to fast 3 days, the beginning, the middle, and the end. That's what we used to do at the time. It so happened that whenever it's getting close to the time that it will look as if one is about dying. But fast forward many years ago in Scotland, 1994, I still refer to myself then as a Christlem, or a Muslim, because my father being a Muslim and my mother actually became a Christian. So I was someone that would join both. And there was a certain thing that I wanted at the time that I actually needed it so badly that I had to now, by the power vested in me by God Almighty, said I was going to fast for 21 days. But I was fasting only just till 12 noon. I was serious about it because I was praying hard. I prayed in the name of Jesus. I was not a born-again Christian. Like I said, I was a Christlem. But I was fasting and praying. 12. But I believed that whatever I was praying for would come to pass. And by the time I got to the 21st day, God, it was a big problem to be able to do that. I know there are many people that don't fast at the moment. I know what some of you be going through along that line. So the 21st day, by the time it was 12, I was so happy. It was real joy. I had one guitar at home at the time. I'm not a good player of guitar, and I grabbed it. And I started playing that guitar all over the house, jumping. I was so happy. My wife said, "What's up?" I said, "I finished the fast. I was so happy." And what I was waiting for came exactly that day. Just at about 1 p.m., the postman came and I got it. I said, "God, so this thing really works." So that's how my own personal experience started with that. And I said, "But they said when you fast, it's got to be for many hours and things like that. But this has worked, God." So as time went on, fast forward some years, I became a born again child of God. Praise God, and thank God for that. And I really had to fast while a lot of the time with the one that is called in my mission. Every year, there are certain ones that we fast. I have to join. Or locally in the church, I'll have to join. And in fact, On my own, once in a while, I'll join. But this time, I've graduated from just those T12 to maybe T6 or 7 p.m., as the case may be, in most cases, 6. But these are situations, in most cases, where your last meal will have been the day before. Okay? But I want to tell anyone that is wanting to plan to start to fast, it's just your own heart and what you believe in. Anybody can do it. If I can do it, well, are you to really take my 3 meals every day and something in between? So it's just your own heart. But there is tremendous power in it. Tremendous power in it. I can testify to that. I've seen quite a lot of things happen from fasting. Quite a lot of things happen as a result of fasting. I just want to quickly go through some of the things that may make people fast. That is, why do we fast? To start with, I say, for the obedience of God's word, Matthew 9:14-15, which I spoke about earlier, and Jesus said, when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they can fast. Jesus is taken away, so you agree with me. It means we can fast. That is, if we believe that word. We fast to humble ourselves before God and to obtain his grace and power. James 4, verse 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That is really the bottom line of quite a lot of these things to do with fasting. So if you go to Philippians 2, starting from, say, 5 to 9, say, let this heart be in you, which is in Jesus Christ. You know, that him, not forget that he's God. He had to do everything to come and overlooked all that to pay the price for you and me. Even the price of a shameful death on the cross. So he took away everything and said he gave it off, gave it up. He said, and God was so pleased with him, so he gave him a name that is greater than every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. That bottom line. So that's why you find very often in the Bible, it says, instead of putting fasting there, say, humble yourself. Or if you come to me, in some situations, they put it, I say that this, because I call it mourning. Which part of what's happening is not just the physical aspect of it, it's the heart aspect of it, which means you are seeking, you are taking a further step in terms of moving to see God. Now, look at what the man after God's own heart, David, said. Psalm 109:24. It says, my knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. In Psalm 35:13, it says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer will return to my own heart. Which means it's sort of situation that tells you that my stomach, you take shape. I'm in control of you. Because each and every one of us, we spirit being, we have a soul, and then of course we live in a body. We have the spirit that lives the body, we have a body. But we have to be able to take care of the flesh. And one of the ways to really do that is fasting. Ask the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. When he got, went after his baptism, he said the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness. You know, he had to fast and he had to be tempted, but he had to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Actually, the third person in the Bible that did that, Moses did that when he was getting the Ten Commandments. Elijah did that after he had a meal and he had to go to the mountain of God. And of course, Jesus Christ did that. And is it surprising that during the transfiguration, those three people met. Now, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does that and he believes in that, but you and me, and of course, that gave him tremendous power, apart from the Holy Spirit that's working in him, it's part of the way of adding to one's prayers. It's like a form of catalyst. It sort of increases the force, the power of that particular prayer. It takes it a step further, as if, like you find quite clearly in the Jeremiah 29, 12, that if you seek me with all your heart, and if you are serious about it, that you will find me. So during fasting, what one has to do is to pray. Is that prayer and the word of God itself that becomes your meal? No wonder after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he said after the 40th day, when he was hungry, Satan, the devil came to him and said, oh, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. He said something. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So is that every word? And that's what we remember all the time. When Tommy is giving us problems, by the time you fast, you see quite a lot of things. You see some, in fact, it's as if it becomes so obvious. You see food more. But it's all that's part of that temptation. All you have to remind yourself is that, no, my God is alive, he reigns. The devil, you are not going to stop me from doing what I want to do. God has said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. So that every word, you feed on that every word. And by the time you do that, you'll be able to do it quite easily. Praise God. Now, we fast to overcome temptations in the areas that keep us from moving into God's power. We fast to aid confession and repentance, as you find in Joel 2. In fact, God himself said this. He said, yet, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garment. Your heart and not your garment. Now, return to the Lord you God, your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting of evil. There is a verse that Christians like quoting quite commonly, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, we humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That humbling of ourselves, that is fasting. That is the easiest way for us to do that, to say, Father, I think this is serious enough. You are great enough. You are wonderful enough for me to put this thing aside and concentrate on you. Once we do that, it's something that gives joy in the heart of the Lord. Now, can I please pose a question? I know many people have read things about revivals and things like that. We all pray, let there be revival, let there be. How many people have seen anywhere where there has been revival and there has not been that prayer and fasting put together? Please, if you have seen, if anyone has seen, please, if you just signify by raising your hands, let me see. If you know of any place where there has been that revival, that fasting was not, even if it's just two people that were doing it. Daniel was standing in the gap. God needs just one person at times, just one. But when it's two, the force is multiplied. For he says, when any two of you agree about any issue here on earth, that it is done in heaven. And whatever you don't agree, what you say you don't want, of course, will not be done in heaven. He says that. John Wesley said something that's very interesting. He said sometime that man cannot do anything on earth without God. And then he said, God will not do something here on earth without man. Man has to be that vessel that has to be used for that. It's a sort of situation where it makes us, if you become weak, it makes you become weak before God so God's power can be strong. I've spoken about David before, but see what Paul said about this. And he said to me, when he said he had the thorn in his flesh, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You all remember Esther and Jehoshaphat in time of crisis? You fast. Jehoshaphat proved that. From three different nations. The Moabites, the Ammonites, Mercia. So many people. 2 Chronicles 1 to 30, you find that. And then he had to call a fast, a general fast for the nation as a whole. That's Judah. And they fasted. And God said, during the time, somebody had to prophesy. So that's one of the things that happened. When you fast a lot, there tend to be more prophecies, more revelations. More revelations. I was in a situation here, sleeping one day, and all of a sudden I was woken up in the middle of the night. It must have been about between 2 and 3 a.m. My wife is here. I was told to start praying for a particular person. And I started praying. Just woke up and I started praying and praying and praying and praying. My wife got up and just joined me. What were you praying for? I just started praying. We're praying and praying. And then all of a sudden I heard, ask for the blood of Jesus to speak for this person. I said, oh. I said, blood of Jesus, please speak. Speak. Speak for someone. So speak. I don't want to mention the name here. Blood of Jesus, speak. Before then, whenever I was applying blood of Jesus, I say, oh, please cover, blood of Jesus covers so and so. He said, blood of Jesus, you speak for that person. I was told how to pray for that. Praise God. So, and the morning started phoning, what's happening? What's happening to you? Where are you? And things like that. And it so happened that we couldn't get through. Phoned every now and again for about 2 weeks. We couldn't get through. Well, just said, okay, we'll see what happened. Then must be about 2.5 weeks later, got a call. I said, oh, what happened? We've called, look at what's happened. I said, and we were told that the person was in India having an operation, a heart surgery at the time. At that time. How is that possible? So for fasting and praying. And when it becomes part and parcel of you, actually you don't feel it anymore. It just gets to happen quite often. So at times when you have to seek direction, like in Ezra, before Ezra left with the other people who were in Ezra, he had to actually seek the direction. By the time he already told the king that the help they needed, the king had said, okay, they can go, and then they'll give them some of the help they needed. But he said he felt ashamed to go and request from the king an escort of soldiers or horsemen because there are bandits on the way. So what did he do? He had to now pray for 3 days, said they should fast. And they fasted and prayed for 3 days. And then, of course, God answered their prayer. Understanding and divine revelation, like we say, when you fast, that word that you have so commonly in Jeremiah 33:3, which we call telephone to God, call unto me. I want to show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Happens more. We had a situation in a church at the time where somebody had some immigration problem, actually. And the person was taken away to Glasgow. From then, they moved to Manchester, and then they were going to fly the person out. For some reason, they did not. They returned the person back. And then the word came. You should pray. Using Proverbs 21, verse 1. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. He turned it just like he turns the part of his stream. Once a word comes and you pray and fasten, that is it. It is done. It got to the court. Would you believe what happened? The judge himself said, this lawyer is not doing your case the way he's supposed to do it. And that was how he was released. It's only God that can do something like that. Not man, it's only God. So for those that want to start, it's not a big deal. You can start by missing your breakfast, just like I did that last time. But continue to pray and read the word of God. And then you can move on, but you have to do it with your own mind. Because there are certain things that says here, which means one has to ask for repentance. I mean, one has to ask for forgiveness from the Lord. If one has having any form of problems, you have to ask for that all the time. And you have to rededicate yourself. He said, we should confess. Confess your sins to him, and the Lord will answer. Will answer the sins. I mean, will answer that. Because if you have anything in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And 1 John 7 to 9. 1 John 1, 7 to 9 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I do add, though, that for those that have some medical issues, medical problems, then, of course, please see your doctor and discuss, particularly if you're on medications, you're a pregnant woman, for example, you're breastfeeding and things like that, then you have to seek that. But if it's just a one-day fast a week, I mean, John Wesley, for example, they used to do it from sundown till 3 p.m. on Fridays and then Wednesdays. And everyone that was going to be part of the clergy would give a commitment to do that. It just cleans the pipe. It makes one a lot easier to be able to get on with the Lord. So I'm going to say something before I quickly end here, which is towards the end. He says, that's from James 1:22. We've heard the word today. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Doers. It's just like praying. You can never pray until you start praying. You can never fast until you start fasting. You have to take the bulls by the horn and just go for it. And take it slowly. Even if you're taking it and you find that you can't do what you want to do, you can call it one day. But one of the things I say is that as a body, as a church, that maybe you say, okay, one day this week we'll fast. Anywhere you want to stop, anywhere you want to stop, you stop. But that is something that calls to prayer, and then come together as a body and pray. And as time goes on, as the Lord puts it in your heart, how long you want to, you do. It's not a question of duration, it's just a matter of doing it. I just want to pray this prayer before we go. And it says, Father, please help me to do a doer of your word and not just a hearer of your word only. I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus. I finally, from Psalm 138, and this is for everyone, the Lord will perfect that which concerns you. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Father, please break each and every one of us. Melt each and every one of us. Mold each and every one of us. And use us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.